Hey, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind. We are Believer City Church. We're in Menominee, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believers. If you are local, you are no doubt listening live to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're elsewhere, you are probably watching via the internet or local TV. No matter how you got here, we're glad you're here. We are rewinding our last Sunday's message entitled Time to Move. And our text is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let's just jump in.
For 12 chapters now, the writer of Hebrews has been dealing with what I think is some very real and practical issues that I believe are crucial to our Christian living. The first issue right off the bat he's presenting herein is how we are to treat each other inside the faith community. Again, something that's very important to us as a church. If you're a guest here, you need to know that. We don't want to just go to church. We want to be the church. We are a community. Had been believers long enough now that they had begun to kind of get lazy and take their eyes off the goal. It's a risk that we all face. It's the same danger that even we face as a church community after being here for 35 years. Most of all was this issue of love. And it's precisely that same issue that is to separate us from our world out there. To actually now move towards this new position they had in Christ. They were given positional sanctification, and now they're saying move on in that practical sanctification to embrace, to live in the power that was being poured out in them. I have no doubt that these believers there that he was writing to began with the same joy and the same passion that we began with when we were saved. You remember? It seems now, however, they had begun to forget. And in doing so, they had begun to even let the fundamentals of their faith, the foundational elements of their faith, to slip away. However, it's really a dirty shame in our generation, in this age, what often professed believers will do to one another. Doing so only reflects the fact that we've never really known Christ's love. The evidence is there. Part of growing up in Christ is learning to carry our love on to the next level to those who are outside of our faith community, and that's hard in 2025. You know, quite often people will come and say, we're church shopping. I can't even imagine what you just said. This is not Target. You know, this isn't a new set of clothes or a new car. This is the house of God. And you need to find a house that preaches the word of God, that God is active in that church, where you can respect what they're doing, you can respect the pastor, and you can get on board and serve the Lord. The idea here is that people want to be a part of, they desire what's happening, and reality is we want to desire to be a part of what's happening with Jesus. I need to know that I'm in the hand of God, that he's doing stuff. And sometimes this stuff freaks me out, okay? Sometimes it's wonderful and it's peaceful, and sometimes it's like, blah, roller coaster, screaming. And the reality is that there are no coincidences if you're a child of God. If God's at the driver's seat, there's no more coincidences. In a individualistic world calling you into a corporate life, church. In a self-centered, where we worship that in this culture, to over here where you say, get over yourself, it's not about you. It's like, oh, how dare you? You see God as cough medicine. Well, you know it's good for you. I guess I got to take it. Instead of what it is, a great joy.
We've now come to what is the close of our Hebrew study this evening. It has been a journey over several months, and it's really been quite a ride, I think, for those of us that were and are willing to receive the impact of what we've been going through. But let's face it, the author now has on numerous occasions kind of reached out and cuffed us on the back of the head trying to get our attention. And many individuals out there today seem to be impervious to that kind of attention getting. They seem to not hear the personal ramifications of passages such as these that we read in the book of Hebrews. But thankfully, there are indeed some who take the full impact of such directions of Hebrews and other passages, because ultimately they desire to be all that they can be in Christ. And as the writer now sprints to the finish line, he's laying out some rather practical manifests that should be expected from an individual who understands what he has been teaching, the writer that is, for the last 12 chapters. In other words, it's for the guy who gets it. See, the thinking goes, in light of all that the writer has spoke concerning over these last 12 chapters, chapter 13 now is kind of what we should be seeing pouring forth via our lives in the practical realm. Now, he begins, of course, with the greatest issue of them all in Christendom, and that is the exercise of brotherly love. Now, sadly, right out of the gate, this is a killer for many of us, at least the killer of their testimony. I have remarked in the past that really the worst abuse, the worst slander, the worst hatefulness, if you will, that I've received over 35 plus years of ministry, it didn't come from those out in the world, as you might expect, but rather it was coming from those who wore the mantle of religion and the facade of some sort of Christianity. I've been the receiver of much of this, and I've witnessed even more of this wicked behavior from those who sadly still call themselves Christians. Now, I wish it wasn't so. I know it's the dirty laundry this evening, the elephant in the room, if you will. And if you're not redeemed, you're not a redeemed believer this evening, I also feel compelled to somehow corporately apologize. And again, I wish this wasn't so. And I hope, again, if you're not born again, that you can see past these folks. There's always bad eggs in every group. But I hope you can see past these folks to those who will love you, like Jesus, of which I know that there are many. Now, the fact is, stark and absolute, you cannot say that you love Jesus and still despise others who ultimately make up the greater church, ultimately what Jesus calls the bride of Christ. Meaning, I can't very well say, hey, I really like you, you're a great guy, and all, but man, I can't stand your wife. If that's true, I don't think we're going to become fast friends, okay? And indeed, we must seek to understand what God's love truly is, or we're simply going to become lost in the quagmire that is the world's version of love. We are to love horizontally. We are to love as God loves. So we need to know what that really looks like. Not what we want it to look like, but what it really does look like. And most of all, we cannot claim that we love God when we cannot or do not love those around us, especially other believers. Now, that's not just the words of this pastor. That's the word of the great pastor, Jesus himself. This reflects into what is verse 2, where we are then to reach out to those around us even further, out into the realm of the unbelievers, people that we don't even know. And then onward even from that, the writer says we're to go so far as to bless those who are incarcerated, those who are in jail, imprisoned. You see, the writer's bringing it all home now, and even going herein as far as the bedroom, calling us to a sexual purity, both in marriage and outside of it. For many of us, Look, we don't have a problem with a church life, but when our faith and our public scrutiny of it comes home to roost, many of us are apt to knee-jerk into that, that's none of your business mode. But for God, you need to know tonight that there's apparently no such thing. There is nothing that is off limits. And that includes the next subject too, the use of our money, the use of our stuff. I mean, after all, truth be told, we want Jesus. Of course we do, but most of us want our stuff too, and certainly all the comforts that go along with it. I mean, we can have both, right? Not so much. One problem concerning all of this is that it is all inevitably so, well, I guess I'd say public. It's public. And the fact is, we would much rather say one thing and do another, thank you very much. We don't want people to actually watch us. We would rather be perceived as knowing where we are going than the off-truth that we are simply floundering around in the dark looking for the switch. And because we lack, many of us that is, personal missional clarity, we are in truth just being blown around in the wind, and that doesn't make for peace and joy in anybody. The writer goes on to call us to respect and to support our pastors and our leaders. Now, these leaders, you need to understand, in this text and certainly elsewhere, they're not exempt from the shooting. They are called also to be witnesses of God, to testify via their lives, and even are told that they are judged by a stricter code than the guy out on the street. We're called, the leaders, to be worthy of actually following. So they have not been given any kind of carte blanche, no get out of jail free card, simply because they have some sort of spiritual badge. Now, throughout the book of Hebrews, we have been repeatedly reminded that our religious sacrifices are not only no longer needed, but God no longer wants them. He wants you. He wants me. The born-again salvation experience is the receiving of the final sacrifice, whole and complete. So now we join him at that altar of sacrifice. And in our completed state, then we serve him with passion and with boldness. Not for any kind of earned value and standing, but out of love and out of thanksgiving, out of joy. However, with that being said, now the author is seeking to that we are sure that we have clarity concerning this one great truth. And here it is. If you have Jesus in you, you will have Jesus pouring forth from you. Did you hear me? If you have Jesus in you, you will have Jesus pouring forth from you. That's not an if, and, or but. It's just going to happen. Christ longs to make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight. Now, full of that peace, yes, indeed, full of that peace, we're compelled now to do good works. We're compelled to, and driven, if you will, to do his will, not just believe in our heads. That's the whole of the book of Hebrews. It's in him working in us. And then our response is all to be well-pleasing in his sight. It is he who makes us move. Now, many of you this evening are out there in our small groups in Dunn County, Wisconsin, and beyond, and that's great. And it's important that the concepts, the ideas that we have had here on Sunday and this evening, we need to understand them and be able to go so far as to dialogue and verbalize them. So I appreciate you guys who are out there now, and I pray for you that you're blessed this evening. If you'd ever like to be a part of one of these small groups, we're going to show you where those are in just a second. And you can just give us a call here at Believer City Church Menominee. We'll point you in the right direction, get you one of those small groups. hey, I've had a good time through this book of Hebrews. We'll be moving right on next week into the book of James. And until we meet then, God bless.